Okay, we're here today with Sandrine Gressard-Bélanger, the Conservative representative, the Conservative candidate in the Compton-Stanstead riding for the upcoming elections happening on May 2nd. And Sandrine, thank you very much for coming and being in our studio here at CJMQ.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And I wanted to talk a bit about your platform, your local platform for running. First of all, how did you decide to get involved in politics?
Well, actually, we have to go back in time a bit to October 2007. My mother passed away on the 14th of October 2007 with a generalized cancer. She was 57 years old.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks. And my father followed 2.5 months later on December 22nd, a heart attack.
Oh, no.
And I talk about that because that was the moment where I decided to live my life differently. He was 61 years old. So when you lose both your parents at the age of around 60, and 6 months prior to that, a year prior to that, they were in perfect health. It kind of makes you think, right? It makes you wonder, well, how long am I here? And when will my time come? And mainly, you know, what do I want to get out of life? And what kind of life do I want to live? And what is my mission in life? What do I want to accomplish by the time I leave? And so that was the moment that I started really thinking about my life. And so that's when I started realizing I had some dreams that I wanted to realize. And one of my dreams was to get involved in politics. And I'd been thinking about it for many years, but never had the guts to plunge. So 3.5 years later, actually 3 years later, because in November, last November, that's when I started really thinking I want to do something. And there was a Congress in Quebec for women in politics. So I went and I spent the weekend there. And I wanted to see, how do I feel in politics? How do I feel in an environment where everybody talks about politics and they're all involved in politics? And I realized I felt extremely well. Not in the whole cynic aspect of politics, but more in the aspect of being a public servant, the aspect of really doing something, making a difference in our society. And that was so important to me that I came back from that weekend totally overwhelmed by the capacity that I have of, yes, making a difference and having an opportunity to do so. So I came back from that weekend thinking, okay, I have no choice. I have to go into politics. Now, the next question was where? Municipal, provincial, for federal, you know, I do? Which party, et cetera. And so from November up until January, I started really looking into that. And I was leaning towards either provincial or federal. And then it was somebody from the Conservative Party who actually approached me end of January and said, you know, what do you think of going into politics federally?
Oh, so that's quite a little odyssey that you've gone through.
Yeah, it was a whole trip of, you know, having to come to senses with myself and making sure I was in line. You know, my heart and my soul and my mind was in line with that new adventure.
So, for those of us who are not familiar with you, because you're a new face on the political horizon here in the Compton Stanstead region, what's your bit of your background?
Well, I was born in France, near Paris, 15 kilometers away from the beautiful city of Paris. I was there until I was 4 years old. Then my parents moved to the south of France, and I lived there till I was 8. And then we traveled the world a lot. So I lived in the States, in Florida, from the age of 9 to 13, where I learned English. And then we moved to Toronto, and I lived there for another 5 years. And then, well, I'd been so used to traveling that, of course, I just kept on traveling because by that time I was an adult and I thought, well, the only thing I know how to do is to travel, so I'll just keep doing that.
Why
so,
not?
So my stepfather worked in the film industry and still does. And so I had worked on a few films, during the summer and things. And so I decided to continue in that direction. And so I worked in the film industry for 4.5 years, up until 95, until I arrived in Montreal. But those 4.5 years, I traveled a lot. I lived in Spain for 2 years, 2.5 years. I lived in Luxembourg for 2.5 years. I lived in Paris for a year. I lived in the Caribbean for a few months doing a film. And so I arrived in Montreal in 1995, 29 days before the referendum. I can tell you that I had just spent 3 months in Spain, where in Barcelona, where they were thinking of splitting up with Spain because of the Catalonians. And I fly from Barcelona to Montreal and I get here and everybody's talking about separating. And I'm going, did I just do 6,000 kilometers or did I just stay in the same place and I don't realize?
Yeah. And we tend to think that separation is a subject that comes up only here in Canada and Quebec, but it happens throughout the world as well.
Yeah.
So that gives us an idea of globally what you're about. What about locally? What anchors you locally here?
Locally, I've been in the Eastern Townships now in Compton, living in Compton and raising my son in Compton for the last 2 years. My husband and I have an auberge, an inn, and a well-being center in Compton since June 2009. And in Quebec, before coming to the Eastern Townships, I was living in Montreal and in the western part in Île Perrot. And I did my double bachelor's degree in HEC Montréal, so a business school of the University of Montreal. I did that from 97 to 2001. So I have a bachelor's degree that specialized in IT and another specialization in management. And I also did some law studies at the University of Montreal.
And your connection with the townships?
With the townships, it's really, you know, start, well, we took over this business, the auberge, in Compton, and my husband and I have been running it now for almost 2 years. And so, as you can imagine, since I run an auberge and a well-being center, the well-being of people is something that's very important to me, or else I wouldn't go into that business. It was actually a fluke that brought me to Compton, because I've been, ever since I arrived in Montreal in 95, I've loved the Eastern Townships, and I've always thought one day I'll live there. But then it just happened. I mean, we were a gang of people trying to restart this business here.
Oh.
And everybody was supposed to move here except for my husband and I. But then the other people, our associates, decided to back out like 3 weeks into the project. And so we decided to move here to continue what we had started.
Just as a reminder, we're talking to Sandrine Gressard-Bélanger, the Conservative candidate for the Compton-Stanstead riding. And what are some of the local issues that you feel are important?
I think that now I know the local issues because I've been spending the last month meeting people in the riding. And I think the main issue here is jobs and economic growth. There are other issues and many of them, of course, but I think that's the one that comes around as very often. And I was very surprised to see that, for example, in Stanstead, there's no local employment office. There's no type of public transport whatsoever to go from Stanstead to Magog or to Sherbrooke. And the people in Stanstead are really having a lot of trouble just making ends meet. And that, for me, is major. I don't understand in 2011 that we can live in Quebec in a rich area of the world, because if we compare ourselves to other countries in the world, we're pretty well off here, and still have an important percentage of our population who just can't eat properly, can't pay for a roofing and food on their plates and clothes on their children. To me, it doesn't make any sense. So I think that's definitely my first priority. And people are always asking me, you know, once elected on May 2nd, what are you going to do May 3rd? Well, May 3rd, I have to go to the elections office to validate the election. So I'll do that. But after that, I'm definitely going to work on economic growth and jobs. And being part of the Conservative Party, you know, that is our strength, the economy. And more so, the fact that I've lived abroad, I've been an immigrant, I know what it's like to be a minority, and the Anglophones in Quebec are a minority. I know what it's like. I've been there, done that. And so what I bring to the table is I have the capacity to go to New Hampshire, to go to Vermont, to go to the rest of Canada and say, look, we're not idiots in Quebec. In Quebec, we have a lot of very employable people. We have a lot of qualified people who are looking for jobs. And we have some amazing areas and amazing infrastructures here in our region, in this riding, to welcome industries and to welcome investors and to welcome companies who want to invest. But how can we do that right now with somebody from the Bloc? And I have a lot of respect for Mrs. Bonson as a human being. And I have a lot of respect for what she's been trying to do for 7 years. But the fact is, she's in a party who wants to split up Canada. And that shows instability. And so for companies who would like to invest here, why would they invest in a place where they're not quite sure if we're going to split up soon or not? And that is really slowing down our economy. That is not helping with the economic growth of our region. And so by putting me in Ottawa, then we have an opportunity to make sure that the companies who are interested in coming here will feel comfortable in coming here and will know that we're going to be stable.
So that's talking about development of new industries. There used to be a lot of industries that have disappeared. One industry that seems to be kind of in trouble right now is the tourism industry. What would you suggest for tourism?
Well, actually, it's very interesting you should mention that, because I'm a member of the Comité d'Action Touristique of the Coaticook region, and I'm on the board of administrators. And one of the things that we're actually starting to implement is there's a new type of tourism that's coming around, which is called des villages d'accueil. They're like welcome villages. And so what the intent is to actually bring people from Europe, from other countries, who want to come here as tourists, and the people in their homes will welcome them, the small B&Bs will welcome them, and there's a whole entire team that will welcome those people and let them go around the region for them to discover. And then when they go back home, then the next summer, instead of going to somewhere in their area, they'll come back to the eastern townships and to the Coaticook. In this case, it's for Coaticook that's doing a pilot program and just testing it in the region to see what the reaction is. But that can definitely be carried out through other cities and municipalities in our riding. Mm-hmm. So that would be one incentive, for example, and one initiative that actually is very interesting, because it allows for people to the people who are the tourists coming here, they don't have to have a huge budget to do that, because they just want to check it out and see, do I like this place? Would I want to come here on vacation regularly or not? So it's an investment that's not as high as if they went to the big hotel chains and with the big the tour operators, etc. I mean, those are higher costs. In this case, the village d'accueil is much lower in terms of cost.
So it gives people a taste for the townships without having a huge expenditure. They'll come back.
Yeah.
One of the industries that we have around here is the ski hill industry,
yeah,
which has been besieged by a lot of problems. Very sad situation for a lot of people. The hills are here. The weather's here. What seems to be the major problem?
You know, I'm not as familiar with that dossier as the others, but my gut feeling is that probably there's a whole question of, you know, finding investors. It's an industry that's kind of, not just here, I mean, in everywhere that you look, apart from maybe Tremblant, but even Tremblant, they have to make huge investments, and then they have to be able to have a margin that's high enough in order to make a profit. So I think the whole entire downhill skiing industry is going through a modification. What we're seeing is, of course, you know, the whole snowboarding and all the new technologies in the skis that are coming, and also an explosion of, you know, the snowshoes and the cross-country skiing, and so many winter sports now are coming to life. I was in, this winter, I went to Valcartier in the Quebec region, where it's all the slides. It's just slides. So that's taking away from people who used to do downhill skiing, which was a very expensive sport, whereas that one is much more affordable.
So that's true.
So you've got now a whole bunch of competition. You've got lots of competition, which is indirect competition, but it's there anyhow. And so now when people want to do winter sports, they now have about 20 or 30 different sports they can do, whereas 10 years ago they only had downhill skiing, cross country, and maybe ice skating, and that was it. Now it's very, very wide. So I believe that the best way for the ski hills to attract investors and to make sure they stay profitable is to diversify their offer, and that's where they're going to win.
Okay, just to go back to something you said earlier about public transport between the communities in the townships. That's kind of unimaginable to me.
Well, actually, there's a perfect example of something that works. And again, I don't mean to always talk about Coaticook, but I know the region well because I live in Compton and I'm very active in that area. You know, there's a system called Actibus. I don't know if you know Actibus.
Yes.
And it's an amazing idea because it's a non-for-profit organization that has buses, and they go from Coaticook all the way to Sherbrooke and back. And their target audience, markets are the students for the Cégep and the university, and the people who go work in town. So they have, of course, their hours are very restricted. You know, it's morning and evening, so it's the rush hours. But it works very, very well. And I've used it several times where, you know, my husband and I only have one car, and so sometimes I need to do a whole bunch of errands in Sherbrooke. Well, instead of saying, drop me off and come back, you know, for the environment, it's awful, I just grab the bus and I just go up to Sherbrooke, do all my errands in Sherbrooke, and at the end of the day, I come back. And that's an amazing opportunity to be able to have that. And it works. That company actually works very well, and they've even found a way to diversify their income so that they're not going to be only subsidized and always needing money from the government. What they've done is they say now you can even charter the bus with that company anywhere on the MRC of Coaticook. If you want to go from Saint-Herminégilde and you have a party, you know, let's say your family has a party in Ayerscliff, for example, Ayerscliff, not part of the MRC, but let me see, for example, Saint-Herminégilde all the way to Coaticook. And people don't want to take 15 cars to go there, or people don't have cars and they're doing a family activity in Coaticook. Well, you can call up Actibus and say, I want the bus to pick up 50 people in Saint-Herminégilde and drive them to Coaticook, and it'll cost you $2.50 per person.
That's excellent.
So it's great for the environment. It's great for, you know, a lot of things, and it allows people who want to gather in different areas to not, even the young ones, to not need to buy a car or to loan or whatever, and it's less cars on the road, and it's amazing. And I think that, I'm sure that initiative could be, very well be opened up to other regions, and the other MRCs could get inspired by that.
So that's good. What I wanted to know is, a vote for the Conservative government in the upcoming election, May 2nd, is, in a lot of people's minds, I've heard a lot of people say, well, that's kind of a lost vote. What would be the incentive for someone to vote Conservative in this region?
We are a region that has 238 kilometers of border. We are a region that has enormous potential. The fact is that if you vote Conservative at the next elections, you're going to be able to send me to Ottawa. And I'm the kind of person that wants to make a difference. I'm the kind of person that's passionate about being a public servant. I'm going there because of the passion that I have inside me, not because I want to get the salary. Okay, I have a business. I have better things to do than go and serve people in Ottawa. But I have chosen to do that. I have chosen to do that because it's important to me. It's important that we get heard. Right now, we're not being heard because nobody's telling Ottawa what's happening in Compton-Stanstead. Nobody is telling Ottawa that we have places like the King's Hall that is a gift. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It could bring so much to the region in terms of tourism, in terms of jobs, in terms of investments. It would be amazing to see that architectural bijou. I can't say jewel. It's just an amazing site, and it's right now it's rotting. It's becoming. I mean, if it doesn't get sold and brought back up to the standards it needs in the next year, it's going to be a total loss. And I visited the place 6 months ago. I went and I saw each room, and I went inside and I saw the bar and the library and everything. And it's going down. It's going to be a total loss if we don't do anything about it. But the Bloc can't do that, because the Bloc can't convince investors to come here, because the investors are too worried about the instability that they represent.
So you feel that there's a lot of infrastructures that are existing in the townships that could disappear?
Look at the Corticelli building in Coaticook. That the location of that building is amazing for an industry. There's the river running by it. The structure is there. Okay, some windows have to be replaced and there's renovations need to be made. Yeah, but if you put an industry there, you're going to create, what, 150 to 200, maybe more jobs? You know how many people in Coaticook can't wait for jobs to come their way because there's just nothing for them? And we need to act upon that. We need to act upon that in collaboration with the provincial government and the municipal government.
All right. So I asked a few questions, but your chance to say what I didn't ask that you would have liked that I would have asked. So is there some point that we didn't touch on that is close to your
heart? Well, I
want
to talk about culture.
Okay.
Because I'm in your radio station, and I know that culture is important to you. And I know that some people are so surprised because I'm an artist, you know. I'm a singer and songwriter.
Oh, that's true. I'd forgotten that.
Yeah, I'm a singer and songwriter. And actually, even since the beginning of my campaign, I've gone to quite a few places to meet people. And every time there was a sound system, I've done a couple of songs, just because it's part of me. It's who I am. I express myself so much better when I sing than when I talk. I believe that culture is such an important part of our life, and culture and community is such an important part of who we are, and it defines us as people. And I know that the Harper government, yes, has cut in culture. I know that, and I know why. And it's because, you know, the whole economic crisis, at one point we got to cut somewhere. And I don't always agree that we should cut there, and I understand the reasons behind it. But again, if nobody in government from Quebec is going to stand up and say, look, can we just cut? If we have to cut, let's cut. But can we cut in a smaller amount, and let's find other places where we can cut so that culture can remain? Because when times are tough, what keeps people united, it's culture, it's music, it's history, it's art. And that helps people stay together. And if there's no voice in that government saying that out loud and clear, it's not going to happen.
So that sounds like a very good argument to me. I like what you said before about send you to Ottawa so that there can be a voice to represent us.
Yeah.
That makes a good argument, no doubt about it. So what you're saying is a local vote for a local person that will represent you is perhaps more important than trying to vote on a national level.
Absolutely. You know, if we look at history, let's look back at history. If we go back 100, 150 years, 200 years, look back at history and always think, every time we think of big changes in our society, were they made by groups or were they made by specific human beings who had a conviction and they knew that they could make a difference. They knew that their ideas would bring to the next level. They knew that if they would fight for something, and if they would stand up for something, it was going to happen, much more than if they just complained about it at home. So my position on this is one person can make a difference, and I'm not the only person. I'm not gonna, you know, like be pompous enough to think that I'm gonna change the world, but I am going to say that yes, I can make a difference. Yes, I can go there and start to speak up for all the ones who don't have that voice. And I'm not gonna go in Ottawa and stay in Ottawa and just take whatever I would learned in this campaign and that's it and run with it. No, I'm gonna go to Ottawa. But you know, when we go to Ottawa, I don't know if people realize, but the MPs are only in Ottawa 115 days, 120 days a year. That leaves 245 days for vacation and being in our riding. And my office in the riding is going to be in Compton. Why? Because Compton is the dead center of the riding. People come from Stansted, it's halfway for them, and for people who are coming from Lingwick or Whedon, because it's a humongous riding. My riding is the second biggest riding in Canada. That's a big riding.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's huge. It's 4,700 kilometers squared. So I'm doing a lot of driving.
So we're talking with Sandra Grissard-Bélanger, the Conservative representative for the Stansted-Compton region, looking for your vote on May 2nd. You're saying, if I understand right, that maybe it's a case of the right person at the right time to make a difference here in the townships, to have our voice heard, sending the person that can represent us to Ottawa rather than voting along party lines.
Yeah. And okay. Also, I've met with the candidates who are in the ridings close to us. For example, the Mr. Jean-Philippe Bachand in Richmond-Arthabaska, and he's a very similar person as me. And if we come across strong, if 3, 4, 5 candidates of the Conservative Party get elected in Ottawa, and we are part of the Harper team, now we end up being, and the other 10 or 11, or the other 11 stay, get reelected, which I think they will, definitely. We're going to end up being 16 candidates, 16 MPs from Quebec. And let's say there's 3, 4 others somewhere. If we're 20 MPs from Quebec, part of a caucus of 180, we have much more power and much more opportunity for decision making than if there's 11 of us out of 170.
Are you thinking that perhaps it would be easier for you to work in a group like that than it would be, say, for the representative from the Bloc? Who are you saying that perhaps the Bloc is a little more distant from working as a group?
It's not that. It's because when the people from the Bloc go to Ottawa, they are bringing to Ottawa a type of person from Quebec. Right? So the rest of Canada, when they look at Quebecers, what do they have in terms of an image? Right? Mm-hmm. Our image in Ottawa and in the rest of Canada is represented by people who are from the Bloc.
Mm-hmm.
But there are not a lot of people in Ottawa who are representing the other parties. So when people want to find out what's happening in Quebec, all they ever hear about is what the Blociste are doing in Ottawa, and they're from Quebec. So the image that we have, the perception people in the rest of Canada have on the type of people we are, they're getting it from who? From the people from the Bloc.
Interesting point. Interesting point. Well, we've been talking to Sandrine Gressard-Bélanger, the Conservative candidate for the Compton-Stanstead region. And don't forget to get out and vote on May 2nd. Make your vote count. And Sandrine is hoping that you'll make a local vote. Thank you very much, Sandrine, for being here at CJMQ.
Thank you for having me, and it was a great time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.